inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I feel like I'm going through withdrawals. I haven't got to do a live show in a while and take calls and talk to people and, I miss it. Anyway, it's good to be back on this afternoon. Thanks for joining me. It's Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, and be filling in tomorrow as well for Walker. So I'll get you 3 days this week. So today, tomorrow, and Thursday, looking forward to being with you. Lots of good stuff going on. Lots of bad stuff going on, lots of ugly stuff going on. Good, the bad, and the ugly. We're going to always talk about all three. We need to be eyes wide open about what's happening in our country, but we need to keep our joy because we're happy warriors, as Ronald Reagan said we should be. And that's not just a Reaganism, man. That's biblical, right? We got to count it all joy when we experience all these various trials. So as the FBI and the DOJ becomes even more politicized, we're going to count it all joy. As the current occupant of the White House has even more trouble shuffling to the podium and embarrassing all of us with his NATO allies, our NATO allies, we got to count it all joy. So it's just the approach we've got to take. I was just doing a webinar last night, actually, with my buddy Tim Barton, and we had pastors and folks on there from all over. As part of our thing we're doing with Faith Wins, which is a great group. Chad Conley and David Barton hit more cities than I can even dream of going to in 10 years. They do it in like a week. I'm not kidding, man. They do like 3 stops a day. I still don't understand how David Barton, 15 years older than me, goes as fast as he does, because I'm slowing down, man. I'm slowing down. But he's not. Anyway, all of that to say, doing this webinar with Tim last night, and, you know, I asked him that. I said, how do you keep your joy? How do you do this James 1 thing when there's so many trials going on in the nation? And that's something I've loved about working with the Bartons over the last 25 years, is just the even keel, you know, just the solid, everyday, right back at it, no matter what happens. Forget which founder it was, said not to be either elated too much by the success or depressed by the defeats. That's how these guys are. And so they've tried to influence me with that, but I still, you know, I'm a passionate guy. So I still get a little riled up with the defeats and still get a little bit maybe overjoyed with the victories. But anyway, Tim was saying, he was just saying, just don't forget, Rick, it all comes back to that John Quincy Adams quote, duty is ours, results are God's. Just every day doing our duty, just every day doing what we're called to do and having peace and knowing that God's still in charge and that he's still got the results. He's still in charge of that part. We're just supposed to do our part in terms of the duty. So that's what we're doing here at the Core, talking about the different things in the culture and then responding accordingly, you know, making sure that that we're, you know, having a good biblical worldview, that our heart is right. I mean, all of those things are vitally important. And so good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's get into it. There's some headlines out there I want to cover, and then, of course, take your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. One article I want to point you to and encourage you to read is at WashingtonStand.com. It's so good, actually, that I'm going to try to get him on the program here, maybe Thursday. Ben Johnson wrote the article, and I had been thinking the same things about some of the Supreme Court decisions over the last week or two. And he just articulated exactly what I'd been thinking, specifically on the affirmative action ruling. So if you've kind of been paying attention, there's been a lot of good decisions the last couple of weeks come out of the court. Not quite as good as last summer. I mean, last summer was a banner year. I've said it many times. The summer of love, if you love the Constitution, because the Supreme Court restored so many parts of the Constitution, so many constitutional principles, like limited government and the federal government only being involved in certain things, and just chipping away at some of those expansions of government. So it was a great summer last summer, whether you want to look at the abortion issue and the Dobbs decision, or you want to look at religious liberty and the Kennedy decision, or you want to look at Second Amendment rights and the biblical right of armed self-defense and the Bruin decision. There was just a lot of good stuff. Even just an agency overstepping its boundaries with the EPA and the West Virginia case. Last summer was amazing. Well, this summer has been pretty good, too. There's been some really good religious liberty decisions. We'll get Kelly Shackelford on maybe later this week or next week to talk about that. We've had some good decisions with regard to college admissions and affirmative action. This is one that, for me, has been an important issue for years because of the discrimination that takes place and this faulty idea that you can correct racism with more racism. Obviously an anti-biblical idea, right? I mean, there's nothing in the Bible that would back that up. We're clearly told in the Bible to have honest weights and measures, to have, to treat each other neither Jew nor Greek. I mean, all of those things. We know that, but we've allowed this complete racism, essentially reverse racism, based on this faulty idea that you can correct however many years of racism with more years of racism if you just change the skin color that you base the racism on. Clearly a bad idea, right? It just foments racism. We know that Clarence Thomas knows that, and he made it clear in his concurring opinion that you don't fix this. You don't fix racism with more racism. But Tim said something last night in our conversation on this webinar that I'd never thought of. I never really put this in context. He said, Rick, think about it. America had slavery for a smaller amount of time and for fewer years than virtually anybody out there. I mean, from 1776 to 63 when we did the 13th Amendment, right? Anyway, I'm blanking on that. But you know, roughly, he said 89 years, roughly. Even if you go to the end of the Civil War, 1865, it would be 89 years. So that's not that 89 years. I mean, that's bad, obviously. Slavery, evil, obviously wrong. I mean, I've said that a million times. We talk about that all the time. Horrible effects, all of that. But less than 100 years compared to nations that had it for hundreds and hundreds of years, millenniums sometimes, some that still have it today, 90-something, 94, I think it is, nations that still have slavery. More slaves today on the planet than at any time in history, perhaps. Perception is important, and the perception that's taught in our schools is completely wrong. And because of that perception being taught that way, we're literally programming into these kids that it was so bad that we have to do more racism now to correct it, which is wrong. Anyway, this decision from the Supreme Court, I keep forgetting the name of the case, 6-3 decision. I know it involved Harvard. There were two different cases. One involved Harvard, one involved, I can't remember the other school, but maybe North Carolina. University of North Carolina. And, 6-3 decision on one, 6-2 on the other one because somebody had to recuse themselves based on, Ketanji Brown Jackson because of being on the board at Harvard. Anyway, all of that to say, overall, great decision. But John Roberts, of course, had to leave the door open for racism by essentially saying you can still have it as a factor, it just can't be the factor. You know, that they can still, kind of wiggle around in their admissions process to somehow, if they can just figure out whether or not the applicant has the right skin color, then they can give them a preferential treatment. I mean, that's essentially what's still going to happen. But overall, really good. So the article that I was referring to, wow, it took me a long time to get around to that. Everybody's going, okay, Rick, what was your point? The article I was referring to is by Ben Johnson at WashingtonStand.com. It's called Christians Should Mostly Rejoice at Supreme Court's Affirmative Action Ruling. And then he just lays it out. It is so, so good. So I encourage you to read that article. I'm going to try to get Ben on later this week, and we'll be able to talk about that in more specifics. Then we have this, I don't know a nice way to say this, folks, okay? But I've been the victim. Yes, I'm going to claim victimhood here. I've been the victim many times on the airplane to have the person sitting next to me desperately need more than one seat. Okay, you know where this is going, right? Okay, so there are these quote-unquote, I mean, they literally call themselves this, basically fat active advocates. I mean, they say that, where they're literally arguing that airlines should be required to give someone two seats for the price of one if they're, I don't know what the politically correct term is, you know, weight challenged, whatever. If they're four times the size of a normal human being and they need more than one seat, they want the airlines to give it to them for free. Does that make any sense to anyone? I mean, does that really seem like an appropriate thing to require the airlines at fault? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. I totally think they should have two seats so that, you know, the half of their body is not on me in my seat. But, you know, they should have to pay for that. They should have to buy two seats. And I understand the advocates. They're out there saying it's fat shaming. It's everybody looks at them like, I hope I'm not having to sit next to them. I mean, that's literally what the advocates are saying. I understand that. I mean, I feel sorry for people. No doubt about it. And you know, but for the grace of God, go I, because I like my chocolate and I hate exercising. And there are also, you know, genetic issues that cause things. And there are also diseases that cause things. And there are also, you know, just issues in life. I get it. All kinds of reasons why a person may be in that situation. But you're going to make the airline pay for, and it's not going to be the airline that pays for the ticket. Who's going to pay for the ticket? You are. I'm going to pay for the ticket. The price of our ticket is going to go up in order to, in a welfare-type fashion, subsidize this person that needs two seats. That makes no sense to me. Absolutely no sense to me. But that's what these people are pushing for. They want to make it a law. They want to actually use the government to force airlines to give away a seat to a person that is too large for the seat that they bought. Instead of that person buying two seats or having to pay for a first-class ticket, circumstances may provide for, or whatever, you know, alternative situation the individual may have to work towards. I mean, that's life, folks. We all have challenges. We all have issues to deal with and situations, and sometimes I have to pay extra for things because of my own situation or my family's situation or... Hey, there you go. How about that? If we're gonna really be fair about this, how about those of us that have lots of kids, the airline should have to give us seats for those extra kids because that's just, you know, that's our situation in life, and it's not fair that I should have to buy, you know, half the plane tickets to get all my kids on the plane. So you should have to pay for it. Does that make any sense? Of course it doesn't. Okay, I know I'm going to get hate mail on this one for sure, but go ahead and make it hate calls. Let's have some fun today. Bring it on, man. Bring it on. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And if you are that person that doesn't fit in your seat and part of you is hanging over onto my seat for the three-hour flight, I just want you to know, I still love you. I do. I love you with the love of the Lord. I still do. I just don't want to, you know, not be able to type on my computer while I'm on the flight. But I still love you. All right? Okay. 888-589-8840. Again, the article at Washington Stand, and Bobby's already got it in the links on the website for you to be able to go read, and it's a great article. In fact, I encourage you to read it before I get Ben on, and that way, if he's able to join me on Thursday when we're doing the interview, you will have already read the whole article, and the interview will be even that much better because you did your homework, right? We got to do our homework sometimes. Students of freedom, people. We got to be students of freedom. Got to put in the effort, put in the time, make sure that, you know, we're doing our homework and we're finding good sources. That's the other thing I'm excited about. You know, of course, I always say American Family Radio is a great source of truth for you. You don't have to worry about it being watered down or us avoiding a topic because we're worried about offending you. As you can tell, I don't care if I offend people. I get offended when people say things, you know, that's part of life. Offense is actually good sometimes. Christianity is offensive. How about that? The gospel is offensive. It's supposed to be. The truth offends. It's like my friend Brad Stein says, you know you don't have truth if you get offended by truth. And so then you get convicted, and then you sharpen countenance, you ask questions, and you figure out what truth.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
We're back on At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for tuning in, friends and fellow patriots out there. Let's dive into our phone calls. A couple other headlines I'm going to try to get to before we're over. $200 billion in COVID fraud out of one point something trillion in just that EIDL program, folks. 20% roughly went to fake businesses and total fraud. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Anyway, we might come back to that one, but let's jump on the phones. First one is Evelyn calling from Mississippi. Evelyn, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
On July the 4th, instead of today's issues, they had a speaker on, and he said that September the 11th is a Constitution Day because that's the day that it was taken.
17th. But yes, go ahead. September 17th. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yeah, and he said that it's a law that the Congress is supposed to review it, supposed to read it, and it.
Well, yeah, the way they do that is there's a federal law that was passed about 25 years ago requiring schools to study the Constitution on Constitution Day, or if it falls on the weekend, you can do it on Friday or Monday. But to do that every year, they're supposed to spend at least that one day, spend a little bit of time on the Constitution, which is good. I think they should. I passed a law when I was in the legislature in Texas that requires you to spend 3 to 5 hours of instruction on the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. So it takes it a little further and devotes a whole week. We actually call it Celebrate Freedom Week and get the schools to emphasize it every day that week. So it's a good thing. I hope schools are doing it. If they're not, that's what we the people have to do. I always encourage people, go talk to your local school board. Say, what are you doing for Constitution Day or for Celebrate Freedom Week if it's been passed in your state? We've got 7 or 8 states that have passed it, following suit with what I passed here in Texas. And, go ask them. And if they're not, or even if they are, you can sign up as a Constitution coach with us, and we give you a 45-minute PowerPoint slide curriculum that you can take to your local public school, private school, whatever it is, and say, hey, if you're not doing anything on Constitution Day or the teacher doesn't want to have to spend time trying to come up with a lesson plan, I'll come do it for you. So we have Constitution coaches, hundreds of them, just this last September that did this. They took this really short course. I mean, it's literally about 45 minutes into schools all over the country. And I'm talking elementary schools, middle schools, high schools. And it's a great way to study the Constitution. So anyway, you can do that at our website, patriotacademy.com. Sign up as a coach. It's free to sign up as a coach. As soon as you sign up, you get access to your coach dashboard. And inside your dashboard is that Constitution Day curriculum. And there's also a video telling you, hey, here's things that work. You know, go to your school board, your principal, whoever it might be, and just encourage them to do this. Every state constitution talks about having an informed citizenry. The reason for public education is so that you can keep the republic alive by having people understand what it means to be a citizen and all this other good stuff. So really, really good stuff, Evelyn. Great call. Thanks for that reminder that Constitution Day is coming up very soon. We're only 6 weeks out, 8 weeks out, whatever it is. Anyway, September 17th is the big day, which I think falls on a Sunday this year because we're talking about doing a big Constitution Day event in Fredericksburg, where we're building the Patriot Academy campus. And I think we're going to call it, we're kind of toying around with this. I've been talking to Kirk Cameron and Brad Stein about this, and we're thinking about calling it, because Brad Stein and I do this thing, Comedy and Constitution. We do those all over the country, and that's a fun, funny, but also, good information kind of thing. And then Kirk Cameron and I do this thing called Campfire Revival. It's his Campfire Revival, American Campfire Revival, but we help teach it through Patriot Academy, and he and I do events around the country sometimes. And so anyway, we're kind of toying with it. I don't know. Y'all tell me what you think. I like this name, Comedy, Constitution, and Revival. Ha! I think we do all three, and the three of us tag team. And everybody listening right now needs to come to Fredericksburg for that on Constitution Day, September 17th. In fact, you could take a constitutional defense course leading up to Sunday night, come in a few days early, or stay over and do a constitutional defense course a few days after. And that's for anybody 10 and up that wants to do the constitutional defense course. That's handgun defense training during the day, constitution training at night. Okay, I'm rambling. Let's go back to the phones. We got Bruce in Arkansas. Go Hogs, go. Bruce, I'll call the Hogs if you'll help me.
Well,
can you do
Woo
Pig Suey? I'm ready. Woo! Woo! Pig! Woo! Suey!
Pig! Suey! Yeah, you could be on the comedy team, all right. You could be on the comedy team.
Well,
that's all right.
You probably, I bet, Bruce, you didn't know I was originally from Little Rock, but I am. I was born in Little Rock. Lived there 9 years before I got to God's country in Texas.
Yeah, I live north of you in a little town. Well, say, I was calling about what you were saying about on the airplane and the airplane seats. Now, look, I am fat and I'm overweight, and I know that. I don't need anybody to tell me about it necessarily, but I'm not worried about it either. And I look at it this way. If I needed two seats on the airplane, if I'm responsible enough to overeat, of course, I do have health issues, do take medicines. But look, if I don't do no better myself, then why is it someone else's problem? If I had to pay for two seats, I fully will pay for two seats and keep my mouth shut, because I don't want to be any more embarrassed than I am about it already. So yeah. Why would I try to make somebody else and make a big ruckus? I agree with what you're saying. It don't make sense. I'll pay for two seats and I'll stay very quiet and I'll just sit still. And
well,
that's
see,
my opinion.
Bruce, you got good old-fashioned Arkansas common sense. That's what I'm hearing from you right now. Just logical common sense. You said a little town north of Little Rock. Where you live?
Well, I'm up by Harrison. I live in Bellefonte. It's right here by 65 and 412, where 412 goes east again.
Yep.
I'm standing here looking at the highway right now.
We drive up 65. We still got a little place up in Marshall, Arkansas. So, love Arkansas,
yeah,
brother. You got a great governor, right? So, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sir, I'm very familiar with Marshall.
Yeah.
I originally was born and lived in Everton, just north of Marshall, St. Joe and everything.
Wow, how about that?
Well,
all right.
It's been great talking to you, sir. Appreciate you.
Hey, Bruce, appreciate you. If I get too obnoxious with all my Texas stuff, you call back in, we'll call the hogs again.
I'll do it then. You have a great day,
man.
God bless you.
God bless you too, man. All right, that's Bruce from Arkansas. Let's head over to, let's see, how about Ohio? Let's go to Ohio with Greg. Hey, Greg, how you doing, man?
Good. Great to hear you. Thanks, Rick, for your information.
You bet.
And your dedication to informing us. Thanks. Thankful for AFR.
Amen.
And the privilege of having their broadcast.
Well, thank you, sir.
I am sitting here hearing news day and day after day about our children having to find their own way in life and being hit with all kinds of criminal style things in our schools, in our sports programs, in the classrooms, in different events. Just heard of a group that was trying to promote life at a rally, parade options and what have you, and they were blocked while other groups promoting their beliefs were allowed to participate.
Yeah.
And so the question keeps coming to my mind. We have all the information. We hear every day the details that are going on. And especially where in the students, in the girls, I can't help but say, where are the fathers and the grandfathers coming off the porch and saying no in a way that they're heard?
Amen. Amen, brother. I in fact, I'm trying to look up my Twitter post from just last night. Yeah, in fact, I'm going to read this to you because we're on the same page, my man. So in Riley Gaines, who's just a national hero, she just posted that a 16-year-old girl was banned from the YMCA and kicked off her swim team for opposing a naked male in their locker room. And to make matters worse, her older sister had to go through the exact same thing with, I don't even like calling him Leah Thomas. I can't remember what his actual first name, Will Thomas or whatever it is. But people still say it's not happening. Anyway, I shared her tweet and I said exactly what you just said. Where are the fathers of these girls? Where is the righteous anger? And where are the pastors? I couldn't agree with you more, man. The silence is deafening, and silence in the face of evil is evil itself. Silence is sin. When we know what to do, as it says in James, and we don't do it, it's sin. I couldn't agree with you more, Greg. It's so infuriating to watch the church be silent in these. It's Germany. It's absolutely 1930s Germany. I was just with Eric Metaxas 3 weeks ago. We did an event over the weekend, and he said he went through the whole thing in 1930s Germany and how the church was silent and how Romans 13 was the number one most often quoted scripture, and, oh, we just have to do whatever government says and yada, yada, yada. No, no, that's such a distortion of Romans 13. And he talked about how most churches sat it out. And so an evil was launched on the world because the church in Germany was silent. Exact same thing's happening in America. The church being silent has allowed for an evil to be launched on the world. All of this transgender insanity, all of this confusing the kids, all of this deviancy being forced on daughters and young girls all over the country in these schools, the president of the United States demanding that local school districts in every community in America must celebrate and participate in this stuff, that they must allow men into girls' locker rooms and showers, that is happening right now on our watch in our nation. And this is not to say that all churches are silent or all pastors. They're not. There's a lot that are waking up and that are speaking up. I'm in a church almost every Sunday somewhere in the country where they are standing up. I was just in Fervent Church in Colorado Springs, and Garrett and Bethany, the pastor of that church there, phenomenal patriots, standing up firm, absolutely not backing down, no matter the price they have to pay. And there are thousands of pastors like that. But folks, there's 400,000 churches in America. We've got a handful of a few thousand that are willing to stand up, which means the vast, vast majority are silent. According to Metaxas, it was about 70% that were silent, completely silent in Germany. About 15% that spoke against Hitler, and about 15% that literally supported what he did. Unbelievable. But the fact that 70% were silent, sat it out, that's how they ended up unleashing that evil on the world, almost wiping out half of the Jewish population. All the other evil things that they did is just awful, awful. But the church was to blame for being silent. We're not going to do that. No more will we be silent. It's time to stand, and it's time to be effective at what we do in terms of being salt and light. And that's part of why we do what we do here at American Family, and appreciate your compliments on that front. And we will keep speaking up, brother. Absolutely. And thank you for doing the same. And the things that, you know, everybody needs to know, there are things you can do. You can go take over your school board and prevent that nonsense from happening in your particular school. You can go influence your state legislature and stop this nonsense with laws like what we just passed in Texas and Arkansas and a few other states that have done it already to prevent this. So stay in the fight, folks. Don't give up. Lots of good things that you can do. Let's try to get another call in before we head to break here in a little bit. How about Luis? I think I'm saying that right. We'll see. Luis, you correct me if I'm wrong. In Mississippi, is it Luis?
No, Louise.
Louise! See, I should be better at that. My grandmother was Lois, so I had to... Anyway,
okay.
Louise, thank you for calling in. What's your comment or question?
Well, I feel it's less important since the couple before me about things that are more important, I think, spiritually. But nonetheless, about the airlines having to pay for... Well, allow a second seat at their expense, which ends up being taxpayer expense because they have to, you know, it's a trickle-down thing. But nonetheless.
That's right. Somebody's got to pay, right?
Yes. It's personal responsibility. I do not have a lot of money. I am not what you call poor, but if I plan to travel from Mississippi to Minnesota to see my daughter, I have to save the money, borrow or whatever, legal, to pay for my own ticket. It's my responsibility. Now, if I allow my weight to get to the point, which it isn't, that I take up two seats, then I am responsible to pay for the two seats. No, and I think personal responsibility is dying in our country.
Yeah. Oops, I lost you. Louise, you still there? Well, I agree with everything you just said. And you're spot on. I mean, that is exactly the right terminology too. It's personal responsibility, and it's regardless of the situation and regard, you know, we could move that to just about any topic out there. It still comes back to responsibility. In fact, even when you think about our rights, each of our rights has a corresponding responsibility. So your right to travel means that with that comes a responsibility to pay your way, to cover your way, to take care of yourself. Your right to keep and bear arms, a responsibility to train and do that effectively and safely and all those things. Your right of free speech means to be careful what you say and not lie about anybody and not be too careless. Right of freedom of religion, you know, that actually is, a responsibility to live out our faith. So many of these things, Louise is spot on. And I'll say this about traveling right now anyway. I don't know. Maybe I'm just the most unlucky guy on the planet. I have not had a flight in at least a month, and maybe more like 3 months, that actually went as planned. Like, left on time, got there on time, didn't lose a bag, you know, actually got the bags out in a decent... I mean, every flight is delayed, canceled, bag lost. There's something... They are failing on every front. And it actually comes back to part of what Louise was saying, lack of personal responsibility, lack of work ethic. These companies that you know, lost a bunch of employees because of their mandates on the jab. I mean, all of these things come back to not being responsible and not being biblical, because it's the biblical perspective that makes you want to work hard, makes you want to serve well, makes you want to put others first, makes you want to treat others the way you want to be treated. I mean, right down the list, and that applies to corporate America as well. So all the wokeism, all the, you know, spending all their time waving their rainbow flags and all that kind of stuff, just get the plane to take off on time and land on time. That's what you're supposed to do. Anyway, so I say all that because whether you need one seat or two seats, driving is the better option if you can do it and avoid the flights completely. All right, we'll be back in a second, folks. Stay with us. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
We're back here on At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with us for our final segment of the day. Lots of great phone calls coming in today. If you want to join us on the phones, you can dial the number 888-589-8840. We'll head right back to the lines. How about Mark in Texas? Mark, go for it, man. What part of Texas are you calling in from?
Huntsville, Texas.
All right. You got the big, don't you have the big Sam Houston statue there? Is that Huntsville or? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That is the tallest statue of an American hero in the world.
It is. Well, of course it is, because it's in Texas.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
All right, man, go ahead. What's your comment or question today?
Well, my comment is that whoever started that question about where are the men is speaking up against trans women or men being allowed to swim in women's swimming. I thought that is not a fair question because, number one, a lot of men, especially the fathers, are against men swimming against their daughters. They are just not being given the opportunity to speak up. Where do the microphones go when somebody is being interviewed? It's not going to the men, right? They're not asking the parents. Has anyone talked to a father? I have not seen anybody. But if you go to YouTube, Facebook, you will hear men speaking up against that also. I am one of those. My son is an NCAA 1 swimmer. None that I know is in favor of men being allowed to swim against women. So I thought that is not a fair question. The right question to ask is, why is NCAA allowing it?
Well, I think both questions are fair. I think the answer to the first question is hard, because I acknowledge what you're saying. You know, it's hard to speak up as a man these days. They don't want to hear from you as the father. And, you know, then it's toxic masculinity and all that nonsense, which anybody that thinks that needs to read my pastor's book, which is called If You Think Masculinity is Toxic, Then Jesus is Radioactive. But anyway, that's a different topic. To your point, though, when I say where are the fathers, where are the men, I'm talking about they should be showing up at the NCAA. They should be showing up at whatever school their daughter goes to that is still competing or allowing the girls to have to compete against men that have been brought into the sports. I mean, frankly, the daughters themselves, the girls, I think, should be boycotting the sport as long as they're allowing it. They have to stand up since the men aren't standing up for them. So there are still ways for the dads to stand up. Go take over the school boards. Go picket at the school boards. Go, you know, let your voice be heard. I get it that it's hard, but the fact that we don't hear much of it at all, and I'm talking about even in our echo chambers, right? I mean, I have my own echo chambers. I listen mostly to conservative outlets. Well, the conservative outlets aren't taking their microphones away. They would cover it if a bunch of fathers if every dad of every girl on the swim team showed up and had a press conference and stood outside the swim meet and said, our girls are not going to compete as long as they let these guys in the meet or whatever, that would get covered by shows like this one and other conservative shows out there. So I just don't understand why they're not and why this has gone on as long as it has and it hasn't been stopped. Now, this YMCA thing, they are out there picketing. I should have mentioned that. There are people, fathers and mothers and pastors and people that are standing up on this, thankfully to Riley Gaines. I mean, listen, this girl has enough backbone to make a freight train take a dirt road. She is amazing. And she says, you know, that first time that she ended up in the locker room and this dude acting like he's a girl and taking all their trophies and all that, you know, started to undress in the locker room. She just walked out. She left. And she called her dad, who was at the meet, right? He was out, I guess, in the stands or whatever. And he's a former NFL football player. So he was ready to come in and take care of the situation himself, which I kind of admire. And she's like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to go talk to the NCAA officials. Who had no, they literally said to her when she said, what's your plan for where we're supposed to go as the girls, as this guy is completely undressed in our locker room, what's your plan? Is there somewhere for us to go change if you're going to let him take over our locker room? They had no plan. They actually said, if you have a problem with this, we'll get you counseling. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable that this is happening out there. So, I hear you, man. I hear you. It's hard for them to stand up. But your second question, why is the NCAA allowing this? That is an additionally good question. And that's exactly what Riley Gaines is out there talking about. How is it possible? And she even says this when you hear her speak. I'm trying to get her to Patriot Academy. Everybody pray out there and let's pray that we get her there because she'd be great for all these young people to hear from. But my friend Rob McCoy interviewed her at the Turning Point Pastors event a few weeks ago, and I was there for that and got to hear. And she talks about the fact that when it first started happening, when this dude started swimming in the girls' competitions and started winning everything, she said, first of all, it didn't seem right because in swimming, it's kind of like in track. You're most likely never going to have the same guy or gal win the sprint, you know, the 100-yard dash, let's say, and long distance running. It's just it takes a different skill set. And she said the same in swimming. And nobody is the champ in all the categories. And this guy's winning everything as a girl, supposedly as a girl. And she's like, something doesn't seem right. And then she found out it's a guy and he's swimming and acting like he's a girl. And so she thought, well, maybe it's a lateral move. Maybe he was, you know, number one, number two, number five with the guys and then moved over to the girls and now he's number one. No, he was like 450th or something in the guys. In other words, he couldn't compete. He couldn't compete. And that's what most of these stories are. It's some dude that cannot win with the other dudes, so he acts like a dudette just so he can get a trophy, just so he can get, satisfy his narcissism, which is what this is all about. It's selfish narcissism. And it's what the world teaches you. Be you. Just do whatever you want, whatever feels good. Well, folks, sin sometimes feels good, right? If we all just go do you, if we all just go act the way we were born, we would live awful lives. We would harm everybody around us and ultimately destroy ourselves. You don't act like you were born. You get converted, you get changed, you get born again, and you do everything you can to live according to the commands that Christ gave us. But this is just, you know, unacceptable for the NCAA to then say to Riley and to the other girls, tough. You will do this. The NCAA completely failed on this whole thing. It's part of what made me stop watching college sports. I don't do MLB baseball. I don't do baseball anymore with MLB, which I used to be a huge fan of. I don't watch any of the college sports anymore that I used to watch. And it's, you know, it's not the kids as much as it's just the left destroys everything they touch. Dennis Prager says it exactly right. The left destroys everything they touch. And they're destroying not just women's sports, but all sports, because they're going in with their leftist, radical, Marxist agenda, and they're ruining every sport that they touch. It's just sad. Okay, back to the phones. Let's head back over to, who do I have up next? Douglas, I had up next in North Carolina. Douglas in North Carolina, thanks for calling in, man. What's your comment or question?
So I was listening to what you were speaking about earlier with the weight limit and cost on airlines and stuff like that. And being a 6'3", 400-pound individual, I have been exposed to this several times.
Yeah.
And I agree. I mean, you know, I'm a big boy, got to pay the extra. I have no problem with it. When I buy clothes, I got to pay extra. I mean, I pay extra for my Happy Meal whenever I end up getting that bigger size. So it's just the way it is.
Right.
So the only thing that aggravates me about the whole airline thing is when you buy an extra seat, you don't get that extra seat. And that has happened to me several times when flying.
You're kidding. So wait, you bought two tickets. You bought two seats next to each other, and they didn't let you have the second one?
I did not get the second one. And it was when I asked about it, they didn't really have an answer. Most of the trips that I take have always been some type of corporate style trip with a business. And you go online and they ask you your weight and all of the good stuff, how much package you're going to be taking. And it'll explain to you on the website that, you know, because you weigh X amount, you must pay for an extra seat. But every time that I have always done that and gone on the flight, I've not had that extra seat beside me because my intent was to have a carry-on, put my bag there.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, brother, I'd be right there with you rectifying that situation, because regardless of why you bought the seat, that's your seat.
I have to pay it. I deserve to use it if I pay for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If you want to set a teddy bear in that seat, you ought to be allowed to, right? I mean, that's crazy. Yeah, right there with you, Douglas. Well, thank you for calling in, man. I appreciate you listening.
All right, thank you.
All right, that's North Carolina. Douglas from North Carolina. Let's head. Let's see what else we got here. I got Louisiana. I got Mississippi, Indiana, Kansas. We got people all over. How about Kansas? We hadn't had anybody from Kansas yet. Lee from Kansas calling in. Lee, thanks for calling in. What's your comment or question?
I wanted to. You said before, a week or two ago, about America.
Hey, Lee, I got
wanting to work.
Oh, now I can hear you. Now I can hear you. I'm sorry. Start again.
I think the main reason they don't want to work is because life has been cheapened through abortion.
Well, there's
another thing. Parents don't want to take the time to teach your children how to work. And another thing, pastors don't want to speak and give instructions for parents how to teach your children against the woke culture. Yeah. They should be reinforcing what the parents are supposed to do. It isn't as simple as it was 15 or 20 years ago to teach a Christian worldview.
Well, you nailed it on all three points for sure. I agree with all three, and especially the fact that, you know, it's our job as parents to instill work ethic in our kids, to not spoil them completely, you know, make them earn it, make them, it's been easy, folks. We got it so good in America. We've had it so good in America that it's just too easy. And that's why the old expression about, you know, good times making soft men and soft men make for hard times and all that is true. And we can change that, but we have to be cognizant of it. And I think Lee nailed it on all the reasons why we should. Okay, we've got, let's see, Indiana. I hadn't had a call from Indiana in a while. Kimberly calling from Indiana. I'm headed to Indiana next week, Kimberly.
Oh, okay.
We're doing our very first Patriot Academy in Indiana.
Close to me or not. But I'm calling because I was listening to AFR last night, Family Talk, Dr. James Dobson. Michelle Bachman was on there with another lady. They were in Geneva at the UN WHO agreement meeting. And it turns out that Europe has already agreed to have QR codes and, you know, a step further in this agreement process. And they played a clip of a guy in Britain who was in an Aldi store, and he couldn't shop there because he didn't have a QR code, so he couldn't buy or sell. And Michelle Bachman was urging everyone to tell everyone they know about this, that everyone, they and themselves and everyone they know, need to melt the phone lines for their representative and both senators. Ask them, is the Biden administration putting us into an international agreement where we'll, you know, have that kind of a code? And,
yeah, what they're talking about, Kimberly, is that it's the World Health Organization and is giving them the ability, first of all, to declare pandemics and then tell us what to do. And then it's the digital currency and the digital health system and all those things so that they can basically prevent you from getting service, prevent you from even getting to a doctor if you've got a health emergency, if you haven't done everything they want you to do. And we had Michelle on the program a couple of weeks ago talking about this because she was actually over there during this summit, and she's fantastic on this issue. And the best website for folks to let their voice be heard and a part of this is sovereigntycoalition.com. Sovereigntycoalition.com. We also had Frank Gaffney on who put that together. So 100% right. Totally agree. We have to melt the phones down to prevent them from participating, prevent our country from participating in this. Unfortunately, we have a guy occupying the White House that doesn't care about the Constitution, that doesn't care about our national sovereignty, is literally trying to give all of this away to the World Health Organization. And we don't know if it's because of all of the bribery schemes that we're now learning about with China and with Ukraine and with all these companies that the Biden crime family benefited from, or if it's because he's just a one world order kind of guy and he wants to have an international organization that has power over your life and over my life, complete control of everything that we do. And that's what this digital currency thing will do. And I know that sounds crazy, you know, tinfoil hat stuff. No, it's real. It's real. This is exactly what they're trying, what they've always wanted to do. Now they have the technology to do it, and they have weak men in office like Joe Biden and Trudeau up in Canada, and soft, weak men lead to very hard times. So we need to replace these weak men with some strong men, right? And strong women like Michelle Bachman. She was a fantastic member of Congress. Love that lady. All right, folks, we're about out of time. It's been fun. Hope you enjoyed listening today. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You've been listening to At the Core. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm filling in for Walker again tomorrow, so we'll be with you tomorrow and Thursday. God bless. Have a great day.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.